Kids, you can go to Kids Rock. Go enjoy yourself. If you have your Bibles, we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 through 15. Brock already gave you part of my introduction. I'm Jacob Stout. I'm a misfit of the kingdom of God. I can barely keep one day together, but at the end of the day, I'm just a witness to the encounter of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me. And so I pray that as we get into His Word today, that you just encounter a holy God. I mean, that's the whole point. That's the whole reason I'm up here, is that we would encounter a holy God today. I want to thank Kevin Wiley. Me and Kevin met this morning at the church office. That's kind of been my little gig before these Sunday morning dudes. And Kevin prayed a beautiful prayer over me. Basically just said, Jacob, we don't need to hear your testimony, but we need to hear the account that you've witnessed the past 3 weeks when you've been preparing for the Word. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to witness to what Jesus has done in my life in the past 3 weeks for this Word. I want to thank my elders, Rod and Andy, and Randy and Mark, and for the folks that pray for me. I mean, this is a big task for me to come up here. So we're going to get into it. The title, if you had a title for the sermon today, it would be God's Power on Display by the Way of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 through 16. I'm going to read it, and then I got 3 points, and I got a lot of Holy Spirit stuff that He's given me, and then we're going to get out of here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 through 16. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. Verse 2, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of Yahweh. Yet among the mature we do not impart wisdom, although it's not wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But verse 7, but we impart a secret, hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for all glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory or the King of glory, or they wouldn't have crucified Yeshua, or they wouldn't have crucified Jesus Christ. But that is written in verse 9, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. Verse 10, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the Spirit of this world, but we've received the Spirit from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Verse 14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, they are foolish to him. And he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but he himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we, Whitestone Church, have the mind of Christ. Pray with me. Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of Yahweh, Holy Spirit of Jehovah, Holy Spirit of Yahweh, I ask in your name alone, that your name would be proclaimed from this place. God, I ask right now that Satan and his demons that just walk around and put condemnation on these folks' minds, he's starting to set their minds on fantasy football. He's starting to set their minds on next week, starting Monday. He's starting to set their minds on things that they're struggling with at home. He's starting to set their mind on struggles in their marriage. God, he is trying to wreak havoc in their mind right now, because the only thing the enemy doesn't want to happen today, he don't want the name of Jesus to be proclaimed. And on the other hand, he doesn't want the name of Jesus to be proclaimed and been taken out of this place. So God, I ask in your name, by the name of the Holy Spirit of God, that you would bind Satan and his demons and allow him to leave this place today. He has no place in this house. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Feel the atmosphere. Feel the room. Listen, church. The Holy Spirit of God, if you're in Christ, what am I saying? If you have salvation in Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God has already filled your cup. The Holy Spirit of God will never let you down. The Holy Spirit of God is that good. The Holy Spirit of God is real. It's not some fictional character. It's not something that we don't... He's real. But the human mind doesn't want to comprehend who Jesus is because we don't have nothing in us to understand that. But listen, church, for those who are spiritual, you can interpret spiritual things because Yahweh lives inside of you. Holy Spirit, wreak havoc in this place. Let me step out of the way. God, anoint my words. Keep me from saying something that's not of you. God, I'm excited because you are my King. You're the King of my heart. You're the King of my heart, church. Jesus is the King of your heart. Let Him be Lord over your life. We love you, Jesus. Finish this thing. In the name I pray, amen. I do apologize if I'm loud and if I'm obnoxious, but I don't care. I don't care. Me and Lauren were driving back from the beach yesterday, and she's like, you know, if you've not met my smoking hot wife, basically could be a supermodel, but that's another story. But we were driving back from the beach, and we were just talking about the sermon and all that jazz, and I said, she asked me, she goes, do you think you could kind of tone it down? Like, do you think you could kind of, like, take the volume and, like, turn it off? And I'm like, does anybody in their right mind want to be this loud? Like, honestly, does anybody in their right mind want to yell from the back corner? Does anybody in their right mind want to get up here and pace and look down because he's not a seasoned vet? Does anybody in their right mind want to do that? And I told her, I said, Lauren, I cannot but speak loud, Brock. I cannot but be excited because it's the only thing good in me. It's the only thing that's ever made sense is the Spirit of Yahweh. So if it's loud and it gets on your nerves, man, next week come back. Brock and Mark did a heck of a lot better job than me. If you're looking for a place to come and hear spiritual truths and have a body that loves on you, then stay. Quit church hopping. So I apologize in advance if it's loud and it's kind of even harder when the room's not as full, so it's going to get even louder. But I'm sorry. There's 3 points this morning we're going to look at. I bought this little book at Walmart when we were at the beach. Normally I come up here with my computer paper, so I'm going to hold this thing out like, you know, the pastors do. And so that way, if I'm holding it out, I don't have my head down at the little broken podium, but all right, here we go. There's 3 points this morning that we're going to focus on. I'm going to give you the 3 points, and Andy Coleman told me to repeat them because I speak really fast. So I'm going to give you the 3 points right off the get-go, Andy. Point number one. I mean, these ain't even points. Number one, we have the privilege of breathing out God's breath. We're going to look at that. We have the privilege of breathing out God's breath. Point number two, we get to partake in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and its power. And feel free this morning to have freedom and say amen. Thank you. Number three, we are able to interpret spiritual truths because we are spiritual. Number one again, we have the privilege of breathing out God's breath. Number two, we get to partake in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and its power. Point three, we are able to interpret spiritual truths because we are spiritual. So listen. I went to Mark and Brock like 3 months ago. I said, guys, I got a word. I got a word stirring in me. And as they do normally, they just look at me and they're like, okay. All right. And so I just kind of walk away. They don't give me any feedback. They're not like, yeah, you'll be on here and there. And so for 3 months, it would be like Jordan Spieth not even hitting a golf ball, Brock, for like 3 straight months. You're like, hey, dude, you play in the Masters next week. So here I am. But I tell you what's been neat. About 3 weeks ago, it was on a Sunday, so that Monday night, Lauren had went to Bible study. They do a women's group on Monday nights. And she got home around 11 o'clock. Well, the Spirit said, open up the Bible to chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians and read 1 through 15. I'm like, all right, Yahweh, that's what I'm going to do. And so, as I'm sitting there, the Holy Spirit just like I was knee on the matrix, and He just shoved something back in my head, and it just started coming out. And so I wrote out a list about 35 of the Holy Spirit is, the Holy Spirit is, the Holy Spirit is. And so Lauren's in the bed beside me, and so with the iPhone you can airdrop something. So I airdropped it to her, and she goes, what is this, your sermon? And I had no intentions of this being my sermon because the word I had for the church 3 months ago was about Jesus in the storm. But the Holy Spirit had a different plan for y'all today. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read my point, and then I'm going to break off what the Holy Spirit revealed to me. You don't have to write all these things down. You ain't got to write anything down. But this is going to give me leverage to prove my point to you in the name of Jesus. Point number one again. We have the privilege of breathing out God's breath on other people by the way of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the voice of God, number one. The Holy Spirit is the breath of Yahweh. If I say God or Yahweh, y'all know who Yahweh is, right? That's God. That's Jehovah. That's Bon Yeh. That's in Creole. That's the only Creole word I know. The Holy Spirit is the sound of Yahweh. It could come in a whisper. It could come in a thunderous voice. You have the voice of the Almighty God inside of you. Do y'all see that? Maybe today you've come in and you've never even thought about that. Like you've never even thought about the God that sits on the throne. His voice lives in you. Same voice. It's not, you don't have to bring prerequisites to the kingdom. The prerequisite is you come as you are with sin and God inserts His voice in you. Do you all get that? So there's no more excuses to say, well, I'm a quiet person. I don't like to meet people. I don't like to talk to people. No. We don't play that. The voice of God is in you. You are capable of witnessing to people. You're capable of praying over people. You're capable of worshiping in spirit and truth. Why? Because the voice of God is in you. Don't leave today without not recognizing that. Can you hear His voice? Like I asked the church today, like we're going through a revival series and half the room's not filled. That's fine. We're not numbers people. Just put the money in the offering box. But have you heard the voice of God? Last week, in your day-to-day, on your commute to work, when you were at work, when you spent time with your family, did you hear the voice of God? Because He's speaking. He's speaking and He's talking, but you're not listening, Brock. Like, you don't got your ears tuned in. It's like He comes and goes. He floated through the waters in the creation, Brock, but He's there. He's not leaving. He never not brings His A-game. Like, He never not shows up with you when you wake up. His voice is inside of you. It ain't left. Tune your ears into the voice of God, and I'm going to show you some things that might help you. Here's my example. This is terrible. It's the stupidest example, but it's the only thing I can think of, Brock. So I've mowed and landscaped for like 15 years now. It's not tan and bed tan. It's a farmer's tan, okay? And so I've kept the same condo, a condo off of Beaver Creek for 9 years. We do decent work, but we're not the best. But in those 9 years, the Spirit of God has laid things on me because when I mow, I think a lot. I pray a lot because what else are you going to do? Okay, what are you going to do on a mower for 4 hours? You think and you pray. And so what I do when I've been on a property for a long time, I'm kind of cocky. Okay, so when a new tenant moves in, you better ask me who I am. I've been here for 9 years. Okay, if you want something done, talk to the board. Like I've learned that 8 or 9 years. If you live in a condo, don't approach me. Go to the board. They have an HOA. They take care of the issues. They come to me. I ain't got time to stop. I ain't got time to talk to you about your problems and your cat, Sally. I don't care about your cat. Let me mow the yard, okay? I'm there to mow yard and get home to my smoking hot wife. All right. So, this lady moves in. This property is like 17 acres. It's monstrous. So when you mow, the idea of mowing is if you park your truck here, you mow and come back here. You're not going to park your mower at the top, your truck at the top, Brock, and finish down there. You want to finish where you start at. Finish at your starting point. It's genius. So this lady lives on the last quarter of the property. And so I'm down there. We've been mowing for 2.5 hours. I get towards the end and she's standing there at her garage like this. It's kind of giving me that look like, I got something to say. I'm like, okay. And so I mow her yard and I get off the mower. If I have to get off my mower, there's this like anger and rage that rises up in me. Because I already know what the answer's going to be. This conversation's going nowhere, lady. And so I walk up and she's like, I need you to trim my bushes right now. And I'm like, sure, let me just pull the compartment off my mower and I'll pull the big old tarp out and I'll get the rake out of the other compartment and I'll get my gear out and I'll put my safety goggles on, I'll put my gloves on, I'll trim those 3 bushes and I'll get a trash bag out and I'll load it up because you're that important. I said, no ma'am. I said, we do a spring trimming, a summer trimming and a fall trimming. Your bushes will get trimmed in the fall. This was in like August. Week one. Week two, we pull in to mow. It's me and Tyler, and there's 2 Guatemalans, and their English is very, very, very not good, okay? So week two, what does the tenant do? She walks up and she says, excuse me, guys, will you trim my landscaping? And they just look at her like they're trained to do. Some of them know a little bit of English, but that's the best employee to have because they won't talk back. They'll walk off. The lady can't get mad because they don't understand the English. And so Miguel just kind of shakes his head and walks off. Week three, we rent a bobcat with a bush hog attachment, and there's a wood line that runs the whole length of the property. Me and the boys were out doing something else. Tyler was bush hogging, and we were going to bring a trailer in and pick up any debris. When you run a bush hog, it slings crap everywhere. Like, just get out of the way. And so we pull up to the top of the property like we always do, Brock. We're going to end at the point. We get midways down. Same lady, third week in a row. Excuse me, sir, can you trim my bushes? And I'm like, in my mind, I use a lot of words I can't say on this podium, okay? And so I was like, okay. And so I was like, no, I'm not doing it. And there's something like rose up in me. I was like, you know what? I'm going to trim her bushes. So I walked back. I had a cutoff on me. I'm dirty looking. And I grabbed my chainsaw out. And I'm like, you're going to get your bushes trimmed, ma'am. And so I walked down there. And I'm like, coming towards her front yard. I'm like, and she's standing in her garage going, oh, gosh, here's Michael Myers. He's coming in to get me. And she had these Nandina bushes about that high, and I walked up and I took that chainsaw and went, you want your bushes trimmed? What? And I cut them things that far off the ground. And I'm here walking away. It was like, it felt like I was on heroin, Brock. I was like, yes. And my little guy, Miguel's like, I'm like, clean it up. And I said, ma'am, your bushes are trimmed. And she looked at me like I thought she was going for a weapon at that point. So I walk off, okay? Listen to the point. We have the privilege of breathing God's breath on people by the way of the Holy Spirit. So week four. 3 weeks in a row, this lady has her garage door up and she sits in this big old chair. She looks miserable. Week four, I pull in. I'm looking, and then when we pulled into the property, I laughed and I saw those Nandinas here like that. Oh. It felt so good. And so we pull in. I'm on again. I get to the quarter part of the property and there's her little condo. She's sitting in her chair, and the Holy Spirit of God goes, you're going to go pray with her. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, you're going to, when you get done with her yard, you're going to go pray over her. And I was like, Yahweh, come on, man. I mean, I cut her bushes completely down. I've cussed the lady in my mind many of times. I've called her every word that you can, being cordial. And so I mow see, this is funny with the end of the property. It's like this big old section like this. There's her front yard. So I'm having to mow this whole section thinking about this answer. Well, I'm going to give Yahweh. I fought it, Brock. I fought it. I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm going to do it. You can't make me pray for it. I'm mowing the Spirit. It's just like taking this meat hook and he's just pulling me by the back. And I'm like, no. Okay, I'll do it. So I mow her yard and she's sitting in the driveway and I cut my mower off and she's working on this little word search thing. And she looks up. And I get off my mower. You know, I look like the Rock with my cut off on. I'm pretty big, bro. And I walk up. I say, excuse me, ma'am. And the look on her face, it just was like utter shock. She goes, yeah. I said, this is going to sound weird and this is going to be so awkward. But the God of this universe wants me to pray with you right now. She puts her head down. I'm like, great. She's a Muslim. I've offended her. We can't pray to her. She didn't really think that. And so she looks up again. She goes, are you serious? God told you to pray for me? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, I'm jacked up. I'm a POS a lot of the days. I said, but the Spirit of God lives in me. When He calls me, I act upon it. And she starts bawling. I mean, bawling. And the first reaction to me is like, oh, great. You got a lady crying here. The HOA is going to see me outside of her garage and she's bawling. And so for the next 10 minutes, she starts explaining to me that she moved up here from Chattanooga because she's running away from a daughter that's hooked on pills. And her daughter's wrecked her. Took all of her finances, took them down. This lady worked 32 years helping with the school bus system in the Dalton, Georgia area. And she saved and saved and saved from retirement. Worked at the like a Dollar Tree down there, then worked like a Piggly Wiggly. Her whole life she's worked, and her daughter has sucked all of her finances out. And so I'm like, I'm sorry. She tells me about her grandson that just got arrested for vandalism pills. So I spent the next 5 minutes praying over this lady. Breathing God's breath back on her. Breathing God's breath back on her. got back on my mower and drove away like, God, I'm such a jerk. Like, Randy, I'm such a jerk, man. But God still used me, you know? And so, week five, we roll in, and my first reaction was like, oh, crap, I got to deal with her again. And not in a mean way, but now I know what God does with me. Once I establish that my relationship with you, I got to keep it going. Like, once I establish my relationship with you, we're in it for the long haul. I got to pray over you. We got to meet together. I might have to bring you Thanksgiving food, but that's how God works, Randy. I'm in it now. And so week five, I pull in, and I'm mowing a quarter end of the property, and the whole time I'm a little nervous, and I start getting close to her yard, and here she comes. She's coming like this, wanting a hug, and I'm like, don't give me that awkward, weird hug, you know? And so I'm like, hey, Lida, how are you? And I hug her. And she said, Jacob, I want you to know that I've been a believer for 20-something years, but I've not felt the Holy Spirit of God like that ever in my entire life. And I'm going, what? She called her sister the day it happened, Randy, and her sister said exactly on the phone, that is God's voice coming out of that young man. Church, what am I saying? When the Spirit of God lays something in you, you breathe that breath back out because somebody needs that oxygen, Brock. They're suffocating. When God calls you to pray over someone, He's breathing His breath on them. Out of you, not your power, not your might, not your will, not your idea, but God's voice coming out and breathing on them. It's a fresh breath of Yahweh. A fresh breath. It sounds so simple, but I guarantee 90% of people in this room don't do it, including myself. We don't pray over people. We don't love over people because it's uncomfortable and we're too important. This is not a word of condemnation. This is a word of let's rise up, church. If we're going to talk about revival, then let's start living out a revival. I want to be at a place when we talk about revival, we see mountains move with the faith of a mustard seed. And when we do revival in this church, I want to see lost people coming to know Jesus, Randy. One simple act. Pray with the person God's calling you to pray with. If it's in a grocery line, if it's at the gas station, just love on them. Breathe God's breath back into them because they're suffocating. Who's your lady at the condo, folks? God's speaking to you right now. Tune your ears in. He's not just speaking to Brock and the elders and the deacons. He's speaking to everyone right now. Right now, He's tuning you in on who you're supposed to be loving on and praying with. And you pray in the Spirit. You know what that means? You wait on God to give you the words. So you're just a vessel. And the Spirit of God uses you and you breathe life back in them. Maybe it's a family member that doesn't know Jesus. Maybe it's a friend that's lost a child and she hates God. Breathe God's breath back on them. Point number two. We get to partake in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and its power. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in His resurrection. There's power in His throne seat. There's power in His Spirit. There is power in the name of Jesus. We walk around so powerless, Brock. We walk around not expecting God to do anything with us, but there's power inside of us. Y'all get what I'm saying? Like, please hear me today. There's power inside of you. Not a prideful power, but a Holy Spirit-given power. The Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in the temple anymore. If you're in Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. So here's where I'm going to stop for just a second. If you're not in Christ today, it's okay. It's available today. It's available today to receive the power. That sounds like something like revival preaching, but it's true. You have the choice today to receive the power. If you are powerless, you have the choice to receive the power. At the end of the sermon today, I'm going to bring the elders down and some of the deacons, and we're going to pray over this body, and anyone that is powerless, come get some power. Deacons ain't going to give it to you. Elders ain't going to give it to you. The Holy Spirit of God will give it to you, Randy. There's power in this place. When two or more gather, what happens? Somebody answer that. When two or more gather, what happens? He's in the midst. He's flowing. He's breathing. He's seeking. He's moving. He's not a dead God. He don't care about your circumstances. I'm not saying He don't care about your circumstances, but He wants you. You know what I'm saying? He knows your worst fear, your worst mistake. He knows receiving today. That's the most important decision you'll make in your lifetime, is receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because at the end of the day, that's the only thing that matters on this earth. It's the only thing that matters, Brock. Nothing else matters. Not your church attendance. Not how good you are. Not how many shows of Ellen DeGeneres you watch. Not how many cats you raise. Whatever it is. How many dogs you adopt. The only thing that matters on this earth is if Jesus is your Savior. It's that simple. It's just that simple. The Holy Spirit is not the emotional stirring you in worship, but it's the power of God being unleashed. Some of you need to unleash the power of God inside of you. Get it off that chain. Get it off that leash. What am I saying? Drop the pride. It ain't got to be loud, obnoxious in the corner. But it's got to be worship, Randy. It ain't flipping with your coffee cup. It ain't texting your boo. It's worshiping Yahweh in spirit and truth. The boo reference? I know. The Holy Spirit always worships in spirit and truth. The Holy Spirit's always worshiping in spirit and truth. The Holy Spirit's always tuned in. What am I saying, Randy? The Holy Spirit's never not worshiping. It's you that's not doing the worshiping. You're not tuned in. You're more concerned about your circumstance and what you're doing than you are worshiping the Spirit of God. Worship change for me, folks, is when I realize that it ain't the songs, it ain't the band, it ain't the environment, it's Yahweh. Okay? It's Yahweh. Worship is not circumstantial based, but that's what we do, Brock. We base it if we feel good, Randy. He's good. Always. I need a drink of water. I had Starbucks last night. We went to the main event. It was fun. And then this morning, I had another Starbucks. I'm so cotton mouth. Listen, here it is. Full-blown Holy Spirit type revival will occur when two or more gather in Jesus' name. And it happened October the 3rd, 2017. On Tuesday nights, we have a men's group. The men's group's been going on for about 7 years now. We've had some hills, and we've had some valleys. We've had great attendance, we've had no attendance. And I'm telling you, you can ask Kevin, you can ask Chuck Les, you can ask Chili, and Larry Israel. I mean, we've just kind of pushed on. Because when you go from having 14 people you're doing life with and having community with, and they fall off and they do crazy things, they don't come back to the church, it's like the iron sharpening the iron, dear. It's just not as attractive no more, because you pull yourself into somebody and they don't show up no more. And so midway of February this year, I called Kevin. I was like, dude, I'm shutting this thing down. There's apathy in me. My faith is weak. I'm shutting it down. And Kevin's like, you know, man, I mean, maybe we should pray over that. And I remember I was in Hebrews, Brock, and the Spirit of God says, never neglect not to meet together. Basically saying, don't stop. I don't care if there's one, if there's two, I will be there. If there's 32, I will be there. And so, October 3rd, 2017, it was a normal night. We had a deacon meeting before. And it was me, Kevin, Kenny Childers, Anthony Childers, Chili Childers, his name's Steve, but we call him Chili, and Thad. Thad goes to another church. And so, man, let me tell you what happened. So, normally on a Tuesday night, we get in there and we'll have confession time. And it ain't like that old school Sunday school confession when people are like, how can I pray for you? And they're like, yeah, I stubbed my toe this morning. I'd love prayer over that, Pastor. Not that kind of fake confession stuff. This is like, what are you going through? What are you dealing with? What sins in your life that you need to filter out? And so, we kind of had that moment and Kenny talked. And so, basically just opened up. He felt the same way I did. Like, he lost his wife a year ago. If you're here, I'm sorry, but I won't share too personal, but I got to tell a story of what God did in you. And so, for a year now, he's just not felt the Spirit of God. He's like 65 years old, Randy. And, I mean, he's just been a knot on a pickle because he lost his wife. Over 42 years of marriage, he ain't got his wife there no more. He's lonely. He's poured everything in his wife for 42 years, and God just, whoop, takes her away. And so he's been angry at God. He knows who Jesus is. He said some beautiful things in the group, but Randy, he's not felt God's power moving him in a long time. And so we're sitting there, we play the first worship song. I mean, it was something in the room. Like, I felt God's power in that place before. Brock's been there. I've seen people fold pillows at the windows and go running through the hallway all filled up with the Holy Spirit. So you could just sense that something was about to happen. And full-blown tongues of fire, Holy Spirit revival came on Emory Road that night. 1,000,000%. Your boy Kenny gets up and starts testifying, Randy. Full-blown testifying, Brock. He's a quiet dude. Full-blown testifying for like 30 straight minutes. Walks up to people and just grabs them by the chest and just starts speaking love to them and talk about the Spirit of God being in them. Thy Lord, Thy Lord, Thy Lord. And this dude is going crazy. Like, that would make some people uncomfortable. Not me. Like, I'm like, getting it going, man. He is going. I ain't got to be the one acting stupid. Kenny is getting it going. And so you can just feel this energy. And you can feel the Spirit of God like hovering in the room. It's like Yahweh walks in. He's 6'9", ripped. And he's like, yeah, I'm in here. I'm in here. And you can see the enemy just like fleeing away. So Kenny just starts testifying. And then we go into an a cappella moment for like 20 minutes. Kevin, am I telling the truth? That's right. And so it was just like, what? I about took my shoes off because I felt I was in the midst of holy ground, Randy. Like I about just took my shoes off. I wasn't going to do like David did and like rip my pants off and be in my underwear, but I felt like I was on holy ground. And dude, it like moved on him. It moved on Anthony. It moved on Chili. It moved on Thad. Thad's not here, so I can talk about Thad. When Thad worships, he just sits there, and that's fine. Good with that. My boy Thad had his hands up, both hands raised high. Thad has an autistic son at home, and his home life sucks. He had his hands lifted high. Praising his King, Randy. Thad ain't like that. Guess what? We're not, any of us are like that. The Spirit of God is. And I called Brock the next day. Actually, we left. We didn't want it to end. Like, Kevin was supposed to teach that night. And I was like, Kevin, don't stop it. He's like, I know, I'm not going to stop it. And so we just kept worshiping and worshiping. Because for like a heroin addict has to hit one time. You want some notes here? One hit from heroin, you're addicted. One hit. One hit from Yahweh, you're addicted. One time. Meet with Him one time, Brock. Give Him a chance one time, Randy. One time. Give Yahweh a chance one time and see what happens. One time you can be addicted to this kingmanship. And so we had to get milk. Like, we've set our time because Kevin's family drinks like 3 gallons of milk a week. My family's drinking like 3 gallons of milk a week. So Wiggles closes at 12 and the poor girls are like, they're running to the door at 11:57. I've already closed my drawer. I'm like, well, if you've closed your drawer, just give me the milk. If it's that big of a deal, I'll get a free gallon tonight. Here, you close your drawer. But you're open till 12. Leave the drawer. I worked at Napa and I hated that, man. You would be like, we closed at 5. And at 4:57, some old cat looking like me would walk in. You got a Flux capacitor for a 92 Ford? Yeah, it's 4:57. We're closed in 3 minutes. Let me search. No, we ain't got it. You're not even looking at the screen. I know. We ain't got it. So I get why people get so frustrated when you go into a place that closes at a certain time. They've already closed their drawer. But you know what? I need some milk. So I pull in the parking lot and I was trying to call Kevin. I'm like, Kevin, let me talk to you. Kevin, where you at? And he pulls in right behind me. I'm like, yeah, I got to talk to Kevin. And I walk in. I asked Kevin, I was like, are we allowed to act in that way, Randy? Like, are we allowed to experience that, Brock? The sin that's in my life. The way I live. The anger, the lust, the sin, the crap that's in me. Am I allowed to worship in that manner to the King? Are we allowed to meet with Him in that way? We are. We're allowed to meet with Him to enjoy His kingmanship because He's Lord over heaven and the earth. And when it's time to worship, He will be praised. Even the rocks have to cry out, He will be praised. Because at the end of the day, if we don't worship in this place, there is billions of angels around the throne seat right now worshiping the King. And you don't need your effort. It ain't like we like, worship God. He's going to love us. No, we want you to worship in spirit and truth because you want to worship Yahweh. The band just helps that. The words just help that. But worship occurs Monday through Saturday. Sunday's an overflow. You drop the pride. You drop the emotion. Do you really care what the person beside you is thinking of your worship? I don't care. And Kevin was like, yeah, we get to experience that. Yes, we do. Third point. So when I opened up 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 through 15. I talked to Andy, and what I've been doing when I'm reading the scriptures, I'll read it in a letter form. So what I'm saying is, if I read chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, I heard this from Rod, is I want to, from chapter 1 through 16, I want to take it like a letter. So I have, help me out, Brock, I need a word, connotation, is that a word? It's close? Okay. So connotation, I don't even think that's it.
Contextualization.
So in chapter 3, when Paul says something, I know he's feeding from chapter 1 and then chapter 2, so it's a letter. It wasn't like Paul went, hey, Brock, here's chapter 1, Rod, here's chapter 2, Andy, here's chapter 3. Hey, guys, put them together. It was a full letter, and the writers of the book, and whoever put the book, Zondervan, or whoever put the Bible together, broke it down in these sections. And so, for me, for about a year and a half, is that I've not been able to, comprehend, the why God does certain things, blah, 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 and so when I read through this, I was reading that night, and I got stuck on this part when it says we're able to interpret spiritual truths because we're spiritual. Most believers use an excuse not to follow God because they say, I don't comprehend what God is. I don't understand what God says. I don't even know who He is. But listen here, folks, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you become spiritual and you're able to interpret spiritual truths in your life. So when God speaks, you're able to interpret that, Brock. That's not man, that's Yahweh. Anything of God is Yahweh, right? His voice, like Randy Henderson told me, He's not going to confuse you. If it is of God, you're able to interpret spiritual truths for those who are spiritual. So for when you read God's Word, lay the excuses down that, God, I don't like picking up the Word because I don't understand it and I'm not able to comprehend it. I have a high school degree, basically, and a 3.5-year Pell City degree that I cheated the whole way through. I'm uneducated. I'm not from a noble birth. I am not intelligent at all. And if I can comprehend it, then you can too. Why? Because I have the Spirit of God in me. And that gives me, I read God's Word and expectation, Brock. I say, okay, yeah, I expect God to do that. But if we pick it up and go, okay, I got my Bible verse for the morning, and it was a good Bible verse for the morning, and that's all you do, folks, you're not going to be able to interpret spiritual truths because God wants you to keep digging and keep digging. Here's some little Holy Spirit deals. The Holy Spirit is your virus protection. Y'all think that sounds weird? You will always be in the flesh until we're... I caught my beard. Thanks, Tim Cantrell. Did you put that on? I don't remember. So the Holy Spirit is like the virus, like the McAfee virus. The Holy Spirit, listen. Stay with me, guys. We're almost done, I promise. The Holy Spirit is like a protection system. It filters and scans your flesh. So, if I have a thought that's not of God, the Holy Spirit's scanning. I'm going, okay. If you struggle with addiction of pornography, alcohol, lust, hating other people, being judgmental. When you want to be judgmental, the Holy Spirit goes, and you know what I'm talking about. The voice of God scanning. No, you don't talk to them that way. You don't view people that way. You can choose. I can choose to accept the scan, or I can choose to keep being Jacob Stout and have a lot to deal with when I get home, right? And so the Spirit searches and seeks, and it scans. The Holy Spirit searches the depths of Yahweh. Do y'all understand what I'm talking about? The same Holy Spirit in you has searched the depths of God, Brock. It's searched the depths of God. It lives in you. The Holy Spirit basically is like a filter for your flesh. Like I said in my prayer, I think earlier, the Holy Spirit's already filled that space you're trying to fill with worldly things, with your flesh. The Holy Spirit can fill all that space in here. The Holy Spirit resides in our hearts and minds and is intertwined with our human spirit. The Holy Spirit is the most sophisticated form of communication. If you want discernment, go to the Holy Spirit because it communicates with the Father and with the Son. The Holy Spirit's its own being. You have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. It's mind-blowing. The Holy Spirit is the seal of Yahweh for those who are in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit needs no counsel from human minds. The Holy Spirit is the warning sound of Yahweh. The Holy Spirit comprehends the thoughts of God. The Holy Spirit is past, present, and future. The Holy Spirit is eternal. Listen to this one. The Holy Spirit is not conviction. The Holy Spirit is conviction. It's not condemnation. I think we don't get that. The Holy Spirit is conviction. It's not condemnation. The Holy Spirit is the reminder of grace and mercy. The Holy Spirit is opposite to sin. The Holy Spirit is the opposition of sin. The Holy Spirit is opposite from temptation. The Holy Spirit gives life. The Holy Spirit is the force to destroy strongholds. If you have strongholds in your life, you've got power in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is that force of God's power to destroy those strongholds. The Holy Spirit is the supply chain from the throne seat. It is coherent with the Holies of Holies. What am I saying? The Holy Spirit goes back and forth, Brock. God speaks to the Spirit speaks to you. That's how important you are today. You're that important for God to take the time to speak to the Spirit to tell you to do something. You are that important. He set the world in motion so He could have that relationship. Why do you think the passage of Scripture said, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, what God is going to do for those? It's He sent His Spirit. He sent His presence to live in you. You're that important today. You are. The enemy tells you, not what your divorce, whatever it is, if it's adultery, if it's drug addiction, whatever you're walking through, you are that important to Yahweh. Because Him and His Son speak, and they send it to you. You just got to choose it, Brock. You got to accept it. Okay, Yahweh. Okay. I'm doing it. Maybe we can discern and understand the spiritual truths of God and attempt to understand His character because we have the mind of Christ. The only way we're able to do these things at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Jesus. We are capable of thinking in a God-like manner, Brock. This is good, maybe. Every decision has a consequence, good or bad. If we choose Jesus over sin, our consequence is unleashing God's power. If we choose sin, we unleash Satan's power. Temptation is the start. But listen, it ain't always got to lead to sin. Just because you get tempted, quit giving in to it. I do that in my life. I'm like, well, I was tempted. Might as well indulge in it. The Spirit's going, no, temptation's not the bad part. It's the sin that you indulge in. How often, church, do you choose sin over the Spirit of God? That's the word today. How often are you choosing sin over Yahweh? I'm down. My circumstance is bad. I'm drinking a lot now. My circumstance is bad. I hate my life. I hate my family. I hate my job. Blah, 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 blah. We choose sin over the Spirit. How often are you choosing the sin over the Spirit of God? Last and final point. Anthony, come on up. Tune on a little bit, banjo. You may have to start gold mining. So, for 7 or 8 years, I've been watching the show Gold Rush. Anybody seen this series Gold Rush on A&E? Thanks, Tim. Anyone else? No one else has seen it. Thanks, Andy. All right. It's a good series. I like it. You know, those series are good. I could basically say right now, if me and Andy and Tim got in a truck and we had some equipment, I could mine for gold, Brock. I've seen enough of Gold Rush to mine for gold. We'd have to have about $2 million to buy the equipment, but I could mine for gold. So with the show, this is going to be quick. Stay with me. They find an area that's fertile ground, meaning that in that area there's soil-rich material of gold. So they know when they go to that area, there's going to be gold. But as the years have went on, they started out like most believers. They were searching in areas where the pay streak wasn't at. And so they spent a lot of time like spinning their tires. They spent like 2 years getting like 3 ounces of gold. And then like the next year they get 40 ounces of gold. Then they start meeting with people that have been around the gold mining thing and they start getting on the gold, bro. You get what I'm saying? So it's like the church. So as new believers, you got to stay connected to the vine or you will rot and die off. So if you're not connected to the vine today, this is your chance to start getting close to pay dirt. So listen to me. So as the seasons went on, I mean, they've hit like 800 ounces, 900 ounces. That's like gold's going for like so many an ounce. So what they do now is they take a test sample. They drill a hole down so they don't have to do all the hard work. And so they'll take an excavator and they'll clear off the permafrost, which is they're in Alaska, so it has frozen ground. And as soon as they get to this area called pay dirt, it's mixed with rock and dirt. All the soils are kind of mixed together and it's a vein that runs in the land. And so what they'll do is they'll dig down and he'll be like, hey, Tom, I'm on the pay dirt. And Barry will be like, let me get the gold pan. He'll run over there with the gold pan and he'll find a creek and he'll pick up the gold pan. It's full. And he'll sit there and he'll just start sifting. He sifts out the dirt. Gold is heavier than any mineral on the ground, so as you use water, it sinks to the bottom. Okay? But think about all the dirt that's in that pan. He's having to sift through it. He's having to sift through it. At the bottom, they know if they're on pay dirt, there'll be a streak of gold on there. What am I saying? If you're like me, when you get derailed, when you get lost, when you grow weary, it's like your gold pan is full of flesh. You spend all your time making provisions for the flesh, and you got to sift it out with the water. The only way you can clean dirt to get gold is with water. And the only way that you can rid the sin out of your life is by washing of the Word. What am I saying? The only way you're made aware of the sin that's in your life is you stay in God's Word. You study His Word. You allow it to wash your flesh. My goal for myself and for us is that we would keep praying. We would keep seeking. We would keep searching, because at some point we'll be on pay dirt, Brock. So in my walk, I'm on pay dirt. I hit the pay dirt, Brock. For 3 weeks I was on pay dirt. I spent my entire vacation at night, when I loved to bring drinking Corona and lime on vacation. I didn't do none of that. I spent time in the Spirit of God. And for 5 nights, I spent 2 hours, and I rolled up and I crossed the way, and I rolled up and I crossed the way. What was I doing? I was searching for the pay streak. I was searching God, like, God, where's the gold at today? Where's the pay streak? If you seek and you pray, you will be on pay dirt at some point. Last one. Church, listen, our faith cannot rest in the wisdom of men, but it has to rest in the power of God. We cannot continue to make provisions for the flesh and expect a kingdom outcome. The more we sow to the Spirit of God, the more we will see God's power on display. Let me repeat that. Church, listen, our faith cannot rest in the wisdom of men, but it has to rest in the power of God. We cannot continue to make provisions. What does that mean? We can't continue to supply the flesh and expect God to move. We can't continue to live where we're living and ask the Holy Spirit of God to blow us out. The more we sow the Spirit of God, the more we'll see His power on display. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to end. And He's going to play the songs. And Brock's going to be sitting there wherever he's going. I don't know what he's doing. But Randy's going to come down here, and Rod's going to come down here. And if you're a deacon, I want you to come down here. And if you want to receive God's power today, not just in salvation, but in redemption and revival, come to the altar today. Let's worship the King in spirit and truth. Let's see where it goes today. We got probably whatever. But don't miss this opportunity to allow the Spirit of God to move in you. So if you're searching and seeking, come to the altar of God. Pray with me. Jesus, have Your way in this place. God, I pray that the only thing that stuck today wasn't the funny stories of antics, but it was that Your Spirit was speaking and moving in these folks. Holy Spirit, You're welcome here. Come flood this place, fill this atmosphere. God, just allow this message to be more fuel put on the fire, that revival is occurring at Whitestone Church. Revival has started, and it will continue to keep going if we continue to fan the flame. We love You, Jesus. It's my honor and privilege to speak on behalf of Your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.